Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you now to look into your word, to seek your guidance, the challenges for this new year. And Lord, I pray that as we search the scriptures and see what you have for us, that it will change us, that we will be different, that this new year we will take these things to heart and we'll apply them to our lives. We ask now for your blessing on this time and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. New year coming up. It's the 29th New Year sermon. You believe that? 29th New Year sermon that I've shared. I don't even know how many sermons I've done in 29 years. And, you know, it's been a long time. It's kind of neat. Bittersweet, actually, you know, to consider the passing the baton. And I have a challenge to pass on. And I was listening to a lecture on DVD by Howard Hendricks on leadership. And so there's a few things that I feel need to be shared. I'm going to share a challenge to our new pastor, Franz, as he moves into this very important ministry. I also need to challenge you as the congregation, the body of Christ. And I need to share why and the goal that we all have and the purpose that we all have. So without delaying too much, and on page 1813 in your pew Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1813, in your pew Bibles, verses 1 through 5. To you, Franz, Paul charged Timothy, and so I charge you. It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. The next part is really not for me. Only saying that I'm not being poured out like a drink offering, and I'm not, this is not the end of everything. So I just want you to know that that next part is not for me. But Paul is charging Timothy, so I charge Franz, that this ministry is a ministry that has a lot of ups and downs. And we're to keep Jesus the focus of our ministry. Never waver from the right or the left because somebody says, well, I think you need to do it this way, or I think you need to do it that way. You know, people come and go, but Jesus is always the same. And his ministry is one of bringing people to Christ. And so do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word. Don't waver from this because it's the foundation of the ministry that we have. We were listening to the radio the other day, and so many pastors now are wavering from the truth. They're moving into a new age, the new doctrine, a humanistic doctrine. And it's preaching that all ways lead to heaven. And we know that that's not true because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so, be led by the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you in this ministry. You know, the amount of years that I've put in, and, you know, the passion is still there. And I believe that in Franz, the passion is there. But it needs to be opened up and let him speak. You know, self needs to be out of the way. Don't let the flesh get in front. You know, so many times people would, you know, pat me on the back and say, wow, you're really doing this or you're really doing that. It's really tempting to listen to them and to get, yeah, I am something. You know, look at this. But you know, it's God's ministry and He's the one that did this all. And I'm just one of the tools. And Pastor Franz will be one of the tools that God will use to continue to build His ministry, God's ministry. And we need to make deliberate efforts because it's very easy to fall into that listening to the people around you who get your ego up. And, you know, it's difficult sometimes to pull that down. But we need to do that. There's so many ministers out there that have let it happen. And, you know, they got the golden fixtures and the, you know, all the other things. And I don't have any golden fixtures in my home. The doghouse is not, you know, it's just a regular doghouse, a little bit of hay in it. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Be submissive to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord. My name, Pastor Franz's name, should never be on the top. Jesus should be the top. Less of Jesus, or less of me, more of Jesus. Less of me, more of Jesus. Less of Franz, more of Jesus. So you as the congregation, you need to uphold Franz in prayer. Paul made that comment in verse 16. If you, in verse 16 of the same chapter, he says, at my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. You know, Paul said, hey, you know, I had some issues came up, and nobody was there. Nobody backed me up. Where's my people? And he says, you know, I'm not going to hold it against them. But obviously it made an impression on him. And you know, that's a difficult thing for a pastor to not feel the support of his congregation, of the people that come. And in Hebrews 13:17, it's up on the screen. I got to get to it here though in mine. 13:17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. That's something that, you know, not too many people realize. When we stand before God, we give an account. It's not like everybody else. I'm sorry, you know, there's a little different thing with a leader and with those who just come and sit under his leadership. We are judged more severely. Because of how we speak, because of how we act. And so it says here to the congregation, it says, obey your leaders and keep watch over you as men that must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. In other words, you know, don't make it a pain to come to church. You know, and I've been through some of those things. I've heard other pastors where they've had that issue and it's just discouraging. You know, the it's a little joke, but it's kind of a story and it's almost somewhat truthful where the individual, this man wakes up in the morning and he says, I'm not going to church. His wife says, you have to go to church. He says, no, I'm not going to church. The people don't like me. Nobody cares and nobody listens to me anyway. She says, but you have to, you're the pastor. And as humorous, but as serious, it's difficult because there are some pastors who feel that very thing. There's times that I've experienced people who are what we call joy suckers. They just suck it right out of you because they just have negative, negative, negative all the time. People who will make you question whether I should stay in ministry or not. And I pray that you as a congregation will come around, Franz, and give him that encouragement. And yes, there are times where there may be some correction. But do it with honor and with the knowledge, with the understanding that he is the pastor. And that you're not to rebuke him in that sense, but you need to come along and encourage him. We're all a bunch of sinners with one mission. I'm a sinner, all of us are sinners. We all come here with a mission to work together as one body to bring the people out there to Christ, to a saving knowledge of Christ. That's our mission. If it's anything else, we're not doing what God wants us to do. All one body. Yeah, we have Sunday school, and we have Wednesday studies, and we have different things that go on, ministries, men ministry, and all that, for one purpose, that we all build up and do that mission, bring people to Christ. Disagreements will always happen. But we need to be open and honest with one another. Don't go to somebody else and say, you know, I'd really like to tell Franz, blah, 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 blah. Go to him. He's not going to bite your head off. I can guarantee you that. He's a nice guy. And so, you know, and in my ministry, in the years that I've been here, I've received a few anonymous letters. I'll look at them. But you know where they go? In the garbage. We cannot entertain anonymous things. We need to have face-to-face dialogue. We need to share with one another. We need to be open and honest with one another. And so that's what we need to do. Now, there's a huge lack of leadership today. There should be an overwhelming amount of leaders in a church this size, but we don't. In fact, it's very difficult sometimes to say, you know, hey, do you want to serve as a deacon? Oh, no, no. Do you want to serve and help it with the kitchen and with this and with maybe putting together communion? I'm just not there yet. We need to grow in Christ. We need to build ourselves up. And I want us to look at another scripture, 1787, Philippians chapter 3, in the Pew Bible, 1787, chapter 3 in Philippians, starting in verse 12. And Paul's saying here, he says, not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We all have this desire. We all need to be after it. We all need to be going toward the goal, the prize. He says he's straining toward it. What is ahead? And that we should be mature as he continues on. For time's sake, I'd like us to look at verse 19 real quick. Verse 19 says their destiny, these people who don't follow those things. It says their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. These people who aren't following God and following Jesus Christ. But it says here, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. We need to act like it. It's time to stop playing the children's games and getting serious about our faith. The reason we have so much trouble in making decisions is because we're not following Jesus Christ. We're following the schemes of men. One last scripture that I'd like us to go through is in Ephesians chapter 4. And you know, in the front of that chapter 4, it talks about, you know, there, God gave us apostles and preachers and evangelists, etc., etc., to effect this ministry that He's given us. And in verse 12 of chapter 4 in Ephesians, it says, "It is them that prepare God's people for the works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach" what? Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then it says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by every wave of doctrine," is what it's talking about, "and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ." Christ is the head. We're the ones that follow Him. And we're to grow up. We're not to stay infants. That's why we have so much trouble. We're blown around because somebody comes in and says, "Well, this is the way it should." No. The Scriptures. Stand firm. So as we start a new year, seek God's direction. Seek God's Word. Seek God's wisdom. And seek God's Spirit. Let Him lead you to become the leader in your home, in your community, and in this church. And in the famous words of a newscaster, he said, "And that's the way it is." I'd like us to sing our last song, "Glory to His Name."